chose those two readings today. They are the set readings for today. And I chose them because they just fit really well together. This isn't a kind of spot the difference, it's a kind of spot the similarities. And for me, the similarity is Jesus' response. Now, I'm sure that we would probably have liked Jesus to say, "You do not need to pay anything to anybody except God." And that's what some of the crowd were hoping. But Jesus was much more realistic and much fairer than that. Because he said to the Pharisees who had posed the question and to those who were listening, "Give to Caesar what is his, give to God what is his. Give to those who are due. Be fair and be honest." And he wasn't trying to please anybody, but he was trying to be fair, honest, a good citizen of the world and of heaven. Give what is due to whom it is due. And then we read from the psalmist, many, many years earlier, when the psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation, declare his glory, and tell of his marvelous deeds." And the psalmist just reminds us to give to God absolutely what is due to him. Praise and thanksgiving for all that he has done. And in a week when the news has focused on the situation in Israel, when we have heard of people dying in floods in Scotland, when we have turned the news on and just heard doom and gloom and despair all around, it is sometimes difficult to lose sight of the goodness and the glory of God. And so sometimes we have to remind ourselves that underneath all of this, any of all the bad news we hear, there is our God. One person says to me and to other people a great deal, "In the end, there is God." And Julian of Norwich said, "All will be well. And all manner of things will be well. And there is hope because of our God." So what do I want us to take away from this psalm today? When I realised that it was the set psalm for today, my heart began to sing, because in the last few months I have sometimes found it very difficult to find things to thank God for. And I have often looked at the end of a day and said, "Really? What can I thank God for? And yet, years ago, my husband and I challenged each other to keep a book of blessings, and that we couldn't actually go to bed until we had written in that book three things that had blessed us during the day. And I've picked it up again. And I've challenged myself. Find three things every day, even in the bleakest day. Find three things where God has touched my heart. And we as Christians need in all the bad times to reflect on God's glory. To think about how he blesses us and others. Because until we've worked that out, we can't proclaim or sing about his glory. The psalmist is so sure of God's glory that he talks about the way the whole earth is jubilant, is singing his praises. The fields, the trees, the whole of creation, the forest is singing for joy. If you're feeling down, read this psalm and God's voice of just great joy and great power can fill your heart. But each day, let's reflect on God's glory and realize how wonderful he is. That in all that is bad, that in all that is difficult, in all that makes us anxious or sad or weak, there is a God who sits in splendor, and the whole of the earth trembles at his feet because he is so great and so wonderful. And know that the Lord reigns. This psalm reminds us that God will, in the end, have his ultimate judgment. We don't need to judge because he will. We simply need to praise him. So we need to reflect on God's glory. But we also need to sing new songs. Sing new songs. To any congregation anywhere, that is a controversial statement. We don't want to sing new songs. We want to sing the ones that we've sung forever. Do you know, I didn't used to say that. I used to say I really want to just sing new songs with some of the old songs. And when my husband and I left the Methodist Church, we joined up with Gillingham Community Church. And now I am saying, please can I sing a hymn? Because we sing new songs all the time. And I come to churches like this and think, hymns, how wonderful. There does need to be a balance, but this isn't about finding the latest Stuart Townend hymn or whatever and singing it. It's about looking at the new things God does every day and telling others about them. About singing, about shouting, about talking, about whispering. The new glories of God. I was challenged the other day. Somebody asked me to give a testimony. But the challenge was that it had to be something that had happened in the last week. Because a testimony that is of years ago or even weeks ago is of something that God has done. But a testimony about now is one of what he is doing in our lives. Not what he's done in the past, but what he's still doing. And I struggled to find something that would really speak into the hearts of other people. But I've discovered God is doing so much in my life. And as I say that, other people begin to tell me what he's doing in theirs. So I'm going to ask you to think. I'm not going to ask you to tell, but you can, over coffee. What has God done in your life in the last week? What is the new song that he's given you to sing? My story is very simple. Every so often at our church, we have a ladies' breakfast. We meet up at the local farm shop. And I always challenge, do I really want to go out and breakfast and pay for breakfast when I could actually just sit at home and have it? And having taken the car to the garage, and you know what that means to the credit card, I thought, do I really want to go? But I did, because I wanted to sit down with friends and chat. So I chose the cheapest, without looking utterly mean. And at the end of the breakfast, someone came up to me and said, I've just put your breakfast on my bill. And God did something at that moment. How good is he? How good is he at listening to what I didn't even pray? How good is God in the little details of our lives? We don't have to have big stories. It's the little things that God does that make all the difference. And they're the new songs. So, what's God putting in your heart to sing now? But the psalmist goes on. We do need to sing these songs, but we also need to live in the light of his splendor. This psalm is one of pure joy. Quite often in the psalms, if you read them, you start with a psalm of great joy, and then suddenly you come upon a couple of verses about God will destroy this and do this. Oh, and the word's great. But here, in this psalm, this is just about praising our God for his utter goodness to us. So we don't just tell it, we live it. Let the fields and the trees be jubilant. Let everything cry out how good God is. When I was sitting here while you were doing the readings, I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at you two. I was just looking up. And I suspect that you've been in here so often that you maybe take this for granted. But this is one of the prettiest churches. It's definitely the prettiest church that I preach in. It's utterly beautiful. But it's beautiful because of the skill of other people, because of the maintenance of those down the years. It's beautiful because it's done for God's glory. We don't really see the detail, do we? Because we're a little bit too far away. But that doesn't matter, because this is what done for the glory of God and the skill of those who did this roof and this church, is remarkable. They wanted, for years and years to come, people to see how great was the glory of God, as reflected in all sorts of things. Sing the songs of joy and gladness. Tell his greatness. Share your faith, but share it by living in the words of this psalm. Sing to the Lord a new song. Proclaim his salvation. Ascribe to God glory and strength. Worship him in splendor. And know that he will come to judge the world and the peoples of the world, in his faithfulness and in his grace. And when asked, what should I give to God and the world? Just know that Jesus' fair statement, give what is due to who is his due, and be amazed at the wisdom of our God.